So there's a whole world in just this line on homage to the perfection of wisdom, the lovely, the holy. It brings up our whole attitude to reading the sutra. We should try, of course, to engage with the text intellectually. We need to think about what the words say and be, you know, try and be rigorous about that. Really try to engage with your reason, with your intellect, with your common sense even, with the text. At the same time, you can cultivate that mood of reverence and receptivity, that sense of wonder in relation to the sutra. So that we should somehow kind of bring these faculties together when we approach the sutra, if you like, the intellectual and the emotional, the intellectual and the devotional. They need to be kind of blended in our approach to the sutra, into something else, into a fully integrated approach to the sutra. So this brings out the whole importance of puja. And what I want to do in the retreat is, in the evenings, not quite sure how we'll do it, but we're going to have readings from the sutra. I want to read through the whole sutra. But we're going to do the mantra of Prajnaparamita. We'll do that as well, so that we integrate our devotional activity with our study of the sutra. So when you say Namo Bhagavatyai Arya Prajna Paramitayai, you're kind of creating a space in your mind, in your heart, for the text to happen. So then we have the setting for the sutra. It's a classic coming together, a classic opening. Thus have I heard. When you have thus have I heard at the beginning of a Buddhist text, it is regarded as word of the Buddha. The I here is Ananda. Ananda, the faithful Ananda, the Buddha's attendant and friend who heard or everything that the Buddha said and then repeated them at the various assemblies. So this is how you can tell that it's the word of the Buddha. And the Lord, the Sanskrit is Bhagavan again. Some people might not be too keen on the translation, the Lord. It might have overtones or undertones they don't like. The word is Bhagavan, which again means one endowed with qualities. And he's staying at Shravasti in the Jetta Grove in Anathapindika's garden, Anathapindika's park. This indicates that this particular teaching would have taken place around the rainy season. The Buddha tended to stay in Shravasti at that time, around the rainy season retreat time. And I've been to Shravasti many years ago, and even now it's a beautiful place, and it would have been extraordinary in the Buddha's time. Very lush garden, full of beautiful trees, flowers, creepers, and there's the Buddha with his monks staying in probably grass huts, maybe simple wooden huts, getting on with their retreat. So that's the setting, and he's with 1,250 monks and many Bodhisattva Mahasattvas. It doesn't elaborate on that. There's the Buddha's with quite a large gathering of people. And unlike other Mahayana sutras, you haven't got an extraordinary, the whole cosmos attending. It's quite a simple setting. And you've got the description of the Buddha robing himself in the morning and going on his begging round, taking his bowl and begging his food. He would have gone from house to house, and he returns to Shravasti, eats his food, puts his bowl away, puts his upper robe away, washes his feet, and he sits down cross-legged, upright, mindfully fixing his attention in front of him. Or you could just say, being aware, sitting in full awareness. It's a very simple scene. The Buddha's done what he's had to do to get his food, and he's come back and washed, and now he's just sitting in full awareness. Previously he's been aware, of course, on his begging round, aware while he's been doing things. Here he's just sitting in awareness, and for a Buddha, of course, that's perfectly natural. There's no effort, no contrivance. He's just sitting in full awareness. There's nothing interrupting his enlightened awareness. It's a very beautiful scene. Very, very simple. the Buddha in this wonderful pleasure garden, sitting in awareness. Very simple, very clean, stripped back, and very important. Bhante Sangharakshita makes a lot of the simple opening, feeling that that's a definite message. I think he says somewhere that the message is that doesn't matter, you know, what our life is like, it's here that enlightenment takes place. It's here and now. It's nowhere else. It's in the ordinary. And one writer, Red Pine, who's done a translation and commentary, a digest of many commentaries on the Diamond Sutra, believes that the whole of the Diamond Sutra, the rest of the Diamond Sutra, is about how to get to this point of this simplicity of activity and awareness, of being able to sit, to walk, to stand, to move in full awareness, in pure awareness, rich, full, radiant awareness, deep and radiant mindfulness. How to get to a point where awareness, deep awareness, is always perfuming and pervading your experience, inner and outer. Very natural, very simple.